This is RSBNB Update, episode 543, recorded Thursday, November 19th, 2015. Oh my god, a puppy!
Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. We are back this week. Monsieur Shane12088 here, along with Earth. Okay, Reed.
Earth. I enjoyed the Andagoa there,
Shane. Yeah, that was in my countdown. But also this week, one of the RSBNB community members, someone who has been around for a little while now, Tyler is here. Hello.
Hello. You can just call him Tyler, Shane.
Yeah, Tyler would be fine, Shane.
Well, I was just doing that in your introduction because that's what your RS name is, so I thought you'd appreciate that.
But he's Tyler.
Yeah, but he's also Tyler. Right?
Is he?
Thank you, Shane.
Yes, he is. Anyway, so we took last week off. We missed the Ripper Demons, and you know that's about it. And when it comes down to it, we are in the same general pattern for the month of November, and that is a Slayer creature, a level 96 Slayer creature released every week. So what we're going to do this week, as a bit of a rundown of how this podcast is going to go, we are going to go through the Camel Warriors, then the Ripper Demons, and then patch notes. And patch notes encompasses this week's and last week's, anything we find interesting and stimulating. So, and of course, in addition to that, we'll talk a bit about the new combat council that JX has established, and that is basically a group that is out there to balance combat. But more on that in a little bit.
Are you on that, Shane?
Oh, I wish I was.
Wish you were.
Thank you for the correction.
Learn the subjunctive. God.
All right. So, let's start with the Camel Warriors that came out this week. These were the ridiculous looking ones in the concept art. In the concept art, they had a pipe, whereas in game, they're not smoking their pipe, which is rather unfortunate, I think.
So you like lung cancer?
No. I think smoking is really bad, and you know people should be careful when they're doing that kind of
thing. But you think these guys should?
Well, I didn't think about the camel getting lung cancer, if that's what you're asking. No. I just found the photo amusing, and perhaps it's because of what Uncle Dano said on the November behind the scenes when we were talking about it.
What did he say? I don't recall, so remind me and the listeners.
He said that the camel was smoking something that Justin Trudeau gave them.
Oh, yeah. Marijuana!
Yes.
We at RSPNB do not condone the illegal use of marijuana.
Yeah, that's spot on.
But it will soon be legal in Canada, so blaze it, y'all. Or actually, you will have the right to blaze it, but because Shane will murder me in my sleep, I cannot officially condone it on this podcast.
No, I would never do such a thing. I would never dream
of it. I know you would never blaze it, Shane. You're Amish.
I would never dream of hurting you.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But anyways, so the Camel Warriors require 96 Slayer. You need 100 combat to be assigned them by a Slayer Master, which, when thinking about it, that's a really steep requirement, mainly because of how difficult these things are. In my view, they're the easiest out of the three that have arrived this month so far. Now here's some vital statistics on them. So, level 132, around 20,000 life points, give or take. They say they're weak to crush, but there's a little bit of a hidden feature or mechanic behind these, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. Yes? No? Maybe so?
Yes. I don't know, because you're not telling us what it is yet.
Well, it's the Mirage ability. What would you call that? A mechanic?
I'd say mechanic.
Okay.
An ability?
Yeah. So, as you're fighting the main camel, it will slowly but surely lower its health, and after a couple hits, it will split into three mirages, kind of the same way that the Glacors do. You'll get a Shadow, Blood, and Smoke Mirage, and you need to kill each of those before you can continue on. And this is why you use ranged, because the mirages are weak to thrown weapons, or ranged in general, since when was the last time you guys saw someone that used a thrown weapon on RS?
Wait, what do the thrown weapons do?
That's what the mirages are weak to, but who uses thrown weapons, right?
Oh, I see. I don't know.
Exactly.
Long time ago.
So
I haven't since the olden days of training ranged with bronze knives.
Yeah, knives and darts. I remember how fast that was. They were the best DPS in the range game. Anyways, these camels are located to the east of Sophonum. So you know the door on the side of Sophonum. You just go through that. And then there's a little island that you step over some stones to. And that's where the camels reside. They are non-aggressive. So you have that going for you. In general, the strategy you want to employ is that you go there, you use magic protection prayer, and just try and DPS them down as fast as you can. But when you're fighting the actual large camel, you need to make sure that you don't use any stuns, any outright stuns, or any abilities that stun along the way. So since we're using range,
why not?
That's called rapid fire. When you stun them, they kick up their sandstorm attack.
Well, that's rude.
Yeah. But it certainly provides for an interesting mechanic, because when you're inside the sandstorm, it starts off by doing 50 and 100 damage to you, right? But it doubles every time.
Sure.
So it'll go 50, 100, 200, 400, 800, 1600, and so on, each tick speeding up. So you really want to get out of the sandstorm if it throws one on you.
Mm.
Because that's a surefire way to die.
Now, have you made a video of this, of these, Shane, that you could plug for the RSBNB YouTube channel?
Well, there's no video of fighting the camel sandstorms as it is, but if someone wanted to put together a Slayer video, it would be a perfect time to mash it up with that late 90s hit called Sandstorm.
which hit is that? Who does that? I'm not sure. I need you to specify.
I don't know. You know.
The Rude Sandstorm, Shane. Come on, you said it earlier.
I did?
I'm pretty sure you did.
I don't think I did. But and
how does that go, Shane?
I don't know.
How does Sandstorm doot, go?
Doot 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 doot.
Nailed it.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Right on, dude.
I don't know why that's so funny, but okay. Anyways, as I was
right
saying,
on, brother.
You just DPS down the mirages with ranged, even though the actual camels are weak to crush, which is odd at first. So just avoid using stuns on them and use magic protection, and you'll take these down without any trouble.
Why is it odd that they're weak to crush?
Well, it's trying to throw people for a loop, right? Because if you look up the camel in the bestiary, it says it's weak to crush. But the vast majority of the time you're spending fighting the mirages, they're weak to thrown.
It's a crazy misdirection.
Yeah. So, like...
Dude.
Yeah, they're not trying to lead you in one direction or anything like that, but...
That's my favorite band.
Oh, I didn't even intend to make that reference right there.
It's actually not.
No. We don't.
One Direction is one of few groups that are for me.
Yeah.
For the record.
Yeah, in general, UK boy bands, right?
Are there others?
I don't know. Are there?
I don't know. You're the expert.
Tyler?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, anyways, there will be some video in the podcast about how the fight goes for the Camel Warriors, but the main drop that everyone's going to be going for is the Camel Staff, which, believe it or not, is upwards of 80 million GP this week when it first came out.
Isn't that how everything is?
Well, I mean, it's a tier 85 weapon, and I don't think there's been any tier 85 weapons that are that high.
Yeah, the other weapons for the other monsters did not debut on the GE nearly as high.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like those, the Jagex set price?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh.
Exactly.
The Wyvern crossbow was around 25, and the claws from the Rippers are around 8 million each.
Interesting.
Yeah, but what the Camel Staff does is it reduces your opponent's accuracy, it employs a damage over time effect, and it gives you infinite fire runes. So much for wanting to remove the number of runes from the economy, right? Another reason for no fire runes. Yay!
Yay!
I don't think it should give infinite fire runes.
Why not?
I just want runes to be valuable. And
Shane's a hater, y'all.
I don't know how popular this staff is going to be, though.
Well, when it comes down in price, it looks pretty good on paper, at least.
Yeah, the infinite fire runes thing is pretty nice.
And plus, remember that when you decrease an opponent's accuracy, you're by in turn lowering its DPS. So anytime you're shooting something with it, you're going to take less damage. And plus, you're going to have the damage over time effect augmenting your magic spells and your abilities. So it's a pretty hot staff.
Pretty hot.
Well, I said that because of fire runes.
Wow.
Two jokes.
Wow, two
jokes.
You're
really treating us
Shane?
Today, Shane.
Well, that's because we weren't here last week.
Oh.
Oh, good so point. That's all? You've used both of your jokes?
I guess so. Anyways.
I guess so.
The Camel Warriors also offer a unique lore drop called the Ugthanatos, which, what?
What?
Okay, I just heard a chuckle when I said the Ugthanatos. Basically, what this is it's just a book that describes the creation of the Camel Warriors in relation to the Camel God. So, I'm not sure if this is going to be a Quest Point Master Cape lore requirement. Maybe Colton can fill us in on that in the comments, but I know the Rippers have a Quest Point Master Cape lore requirement drop, so... yeah, and these all require...
Another reason I'm never going to get that.
It needs 96 Slayer. And lots of time for that. But anyways, another reason to fight the Camel Warriors is because they drop lots of Herb Lore secondaries. So if you're looking to train range, this would actually be a good creature to train on. Mainly just because of all the neat little Herb Lore drops that they give. So I think so far the Camel Warriors are my favorite.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like them.
Tyler, you have any other comments on the Camel Warriors since you fought them or read yourself from the video I showed you?
I think you did a good job talking about it all. They do look ridiculous still. That's my only qualm.
Yeah.
They look very silly.
Yeah, and I would be all over these things further if they dropped the pipe from the concept art. Oh, well, that's interesting. Camel Warrior on Google is now second for RS, but there's actually a Camel Cavalry Wikipedia page, believe it or not.
Interesting.
Neat.
Yeah, they used them in India and whatnot in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I guess they could be pretty vicious then, eh? All right.
Mean they're camels, man.
Yeah, any kind of animal that
animal.
Any kind of animal can be vicious if you provoke it the right way, even humans. Yes? Okay. All right. Well, then.
I was just agreeing with you.
Okay. So if there's no questions, let's move on to the Rippers then, shall we?
Okay, let's Ripper a new one.
All right. Well, the Ripper Demons are last week's NPC. They are based off of the Ripper in One Piercing Note. I think we remember that quest, right?
Nope.
Oh, okay, that was one, the one with the song?
Yes, I do,
okay.
Actually.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. So you'll find the Ripper Demons outside, well, underneath the Abbey where that quest took place. So what you want to do is, once you're in Elkar, just head east and pretend you're going to the Abbey, and there's a little shortcut that you can take where you'll be able to access their cave, or you can go the long way through the Shanty Pass and then up and around into the cave if you don't have the agility level to make that shortcut. But I think anyone fighting these would definitely have that agility level. So, now, with that being said, the Ripper Demons are also non-aggressive to you, which is good, because there's lots of them in there, and these are perhaps the most dangerous creature that have been released so far.
Shane, did you die?
Yeah, I did. On the first day... And when I was grabbing podcast B-roll for this, I died. But these are level 131. They have around 33,000 life points. They are weak to dark light and earth magic spells. But since they...
Everything should be weak to earth magic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're just so magical that you just charm your way into everything, right?
Duh.
Okay, that's pushing it a little bit, but the Ripper Demons attack with melee, so you'll want to use melee armor with these. And just a bit of a side note going back, since I didn't mention it, when fighting the Camel War, you want ranged armor. But anyways, so Ripper Demons attack with melee, you want to use melee armor and the melee protection prayer. And now, normally you see earth magic spells, so okay, we can do that, yes?
Melee. It's melee.
Okay. But, of course, as they're a demon, a dark light is also a good option to fight these with. For anyone who's done Dimension of Disaster and upgraded their dark light, you are going to be in the perfect position to fight these, because the preferred method of fighting the Rippers is to use dark light and any other offhand melee weapon. And then, once again, just, you know, DPS them down, thresholds, basics. Probably save your ultimates for thresholds because you want to try and kill these as fast as possible. But they do have a special attack that has claimed many, many people. I think it was upwards of at least 30,000 dead in the first week here.
Wow.
Yeah. So basically... These creatures have an adrenaline bar, and when they reach full adrenaline, they have the ability to pounce on you. And what they'll do is they'll jump up into the sky and then land down. And then if they land on you, they hit you for every little life point you have left inside of you, which basically means you're going to suffer a one-hit KO. And the only way to avoid this attack is to look on the ground as to where the shadow is going to be and run away from that shadow. Now, if there's other people in there, you are also going to be prone from getting hit by their Ripper Demons performing the pounce attack. So when you're fighting the Ripper Demons, you want to be in as empty of a world as you can find, because otherwise you could end up being collateral damage. I mean, I never thought we'd get to a point where there'd be collateral damage in RuneScape. Yeah. But,
Oh, I didn't know that.
Tragic.
So if another person's fighting them and they do the special, their special can affect you?
Yep.
Oh.
So
thank
you,
God.
So
never...
You need to be watching the Ripper. You need to be watching your health. You need to be watching the ground to look for other shadows as well. So the Ripper Demons are harder than the Camel Warriors in that respect. But, you know, these creatures, if you misclick or you lag a bit, you're dead.
You're boned.
Yeah, and that's actually the reason I died, Reed, is because when I was...
Oh, lag. Yeah, blame it on lag.
No. I misclicked, and I opened my familiar, and I didn't see where the shadow was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so...
Right.
Yeah, but just take these down with Malie, and you'll be good to go. And, of course, when you finally kill them, they turn into a spinning top, which violently spins and hurts anything in its immediate surrounding area.
A spinning top that spins.
Violently. A spinning top that spins violently is what I said. So imagine you have a big spinning top the size of, like, 8 feet tall or something like that, and it's got tons of blades on it. That's what the Ripper Demons turn into.
So it spins.
It hurts.
Yeah, and I guess you could say that these Ripper Demons are a real slasher.
God damn, Shane.
What is wrong with you?
Fire. What's wrong with you? Yeah.
I don't know. But anyways, the Ripper Demons drop the Ripper Claws, which are level 85 melee weapons, and when you use both of the claws, more damage is dealt to the target as they go below 50% life points. So given how fast claws are, if you're looking for a set of level 85 weapons you can buy, the Ripper Claws might be something for you. There's also a larger...
Do they drop both of them at the same time?
No, they don't.
Okay.
Because it's an offhand and a main hand claw drop. So you got to get both.
Okay.
They also drop miner's journals. I think there's six of them, if I remember correctly. And then after that, you can get the Diary of Jebediah Omnis. And that is the quest point master cape requirement here.
So that's irritating.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, the thing I dislike about the Ripper Demons is that you are at the mercy of the game's combat system and lag. So if you lag out a bit or you misclick and you misjudge where they're going to land after they pounce, well, you're dead. So.
Rip.
And that's why they're called the Ripper Demon, I guess, right?
Because they rip you a new one.
Yeah.
Right, Shane?
Or it could be in relation to that. No, I won't say that. But
into what?
No.
I need to know now.
Slashers.
What?
Slashers, you know? You know that...
The hash-slinging slasher?
No, you know, a slasher is a genre of a horror movie, right?
Of a horror movie?
You know what I meant.
What kind of movies are you watching, Shane?
I don't watch slashers, but... You know?
Slasher, I barely know her.
Oh, gosh.
But there's also Jack the Ripper. Gosh. That's where I was going. But I didn't think it was going to be right to mention that kind of serial killer.
That kind of serial killer?
Yeah.
So is there another kind that is okay?
No, serial killing is okay.
What about the kind of killing where you actually kill with cereal? That? Okay.
No. Ay, 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 ay. All right. So there's the Ripper Demons. Always a good, probably good fun to take someone down there if they're just getting used to Slayer. And, well, no, that would be pretty mean, wouldn't
it? Wow, that's a dick move, Shane.
Well, I mean, if you had 96 Slayer, then I guess you could, right?
They're also not new to Slayer then.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, can you get into the cave if you don't have 96 Slayer? Did anyone test that?
No.
No, okay.
Oh, I have not.
Reed, next time you're
on... I didn't have the requirement, so I didn't check it out.
Yeah, next time you're on RS, go visit the Abbey and see if you can get into the Ripper Demon Cave.
Yes, sir.
And maybe they'll rip you apart.
Wow, that's rude.
So, there's the Ripper Demons and the Camel Warriors, 2/4 of this month's Slayer update. So, anything else on the Ripper Demons before we move on?
I got nothing.
Okay.
I did find it weird that you got a warning for when you went down the shortcut and for when you went in the cave. I don't know why you needed a warning to go down the shortcut.
I guess then, given the fact there's a warning, then other people can go in there. That'd be a fun hiding spot for hide and seek, then.
It'd be quite mean, Shane.
Yeah, you're right. It would be. It would be. But I mean, the graves appear outside, so you don't need to go in the cave to go
back. Wow, go pick Shane, up your item. You're just...
Well, no, I mean, I have experience in that.
In what? Being an asshole?
No, when my grave appeared.
All right, because you died.
Lots of people died on this one, Reed.
Dude. I too died.
I didn't. Y'all suck.
Well, that's okay because you're just not a Slayer person. And you know, to a large extent, neither am I. So it's A-okay in that regard.
A-okay.
Yeah. Ripper Demons have killed 66,000 players since they were released.
66,000?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
No, that's made up.
No, that was said this week in Jagex's combat stream.
66,000?
Meanwhile,
I don't believe it.
Is that unique?
Well,
does that mean unique players?
No, I don't think it'd be unique.
I doubt it.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that many.
Okay.
But comparatively, Beastmaster Yakamaru from Raids has taken out 222,000. So, the Rippers are a dangerous creature, and they require the utmost attention when you're slaying them. So, be warned.
Clearly.
Yeah. But the claws, I mean... And everyone there is going for the drop, and so far these are worth the least of any of the drops that have been brought in. So we'll have to see what happens next week, because we already got the magic staff, we got the ranged weapon, and now we got the claws, so I wonder what next week's weapon is going to be. But anyways, that's enough combat for today. Let us move on to the patch notes, shall we?
Sure.
Alrighty, so... They added a Barbarian Assault armor patch to the reward shop at the cost of 100 points, and this basically increases the damage of any Barbarian Assault armor that you use. Now remember, Barbarian Assault armor is level 50 power armor, so using this takes it up to a level 65 piece of armor. So
still useless to anyone.
Well, I mean, if you're leveling up and doing Barbarian Assault, it's going to be a great piece of armor at around level 65 or 70 until you can get Barrows.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the only use case for this, I believe. Also, the drop rate of the Living Wyverns has been buffed. Their average drop should now be worth approximately 15k. So obviously the whining player base got their wish. On that, clicking the Alt tab within the bank interface now scrolls to the top of the bank.
Oh, okay. Good. Can we toggle that though?
I
feel like that's going to be irritating.
No.
Well, tits.
I'm not sure. We need this. Like, do we need this? Because
I can see the use.
When I want to get to the top of my bank really quickly, I just unlock my mouse and give it a flick, and then it's up there in no time.
Well, not everyone has our mouse, Shane.
Yeah, that's right. We should definitely encourage people to purchase that mouse at some point. But that's a topic for another day. Except 8 has been reworked and split off into 7 different categories under game settings, including teleports, spells, invitations, and more. Yes?
Teleports. Teleports.
Oh, I just can't win, can I?
Nope.
So, something I found amusing in the patch notes, made another attempt at fixing the disconnects while peeking during the Broken Home quest. Did you read that one?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was amusing as well. But
I found that amusing. Another attempt. Attempt. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to
emphasize
that.
Because I added that one. If I was to break this down...
Or...
Then we would be... Then the reason this would be a problem... is because, you disconnect when you look at an item that doesn't necessarily exist. They've had this problem with various Herblore potions in the past, so... I don't know. But, I mean, have you gone back to Broken Home?
No.
Oh, there's the first one, 28 minutes in. But,
pretty sure I've said it before.
Anyways, the granular accept aid interface is really good because that means you can just turn off the teleports and leave anything else on, because I don't like trying to be teleported away. So,
but it's fun doing that to you. You get really frustrated. No, I don't want to go to the wilderness.
This is true. This is true. But
I don't want to go to Sears Village.
I remember when the other spells came out. They were pretty amusing to see. The first three to come out were Lumbridge, Camelot, and Falador.
Those are the only ones in the standard spell book, too, Shane.
Yep, that is correct. Other ones are in the Lunar and, the Ancient spell book. All right.
They have some in the Ancient spell book?
Yeah, isn't that how you get to the wilderness?
No, there's like a nice plateau group teleport.
Yeah. Oh,
in the
right.
Lunars.
You're right. It is all.
I know
right.
I am.
I was almost making things up again, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
I never.
This time you were just mistaken.
And the vast majority of times I'm mistaken, you say I'm making stuff up.
It's not my fault.
Anyways, the spring cleaner now gives the correct materials when dismantling arrows. Okay. And the following keybinds have been added to the bank interface. N to toggle noting items. S to toggle search. 3 to deposit inventory items. 4 to deposit worn items. And 5 to deposit your beast of burden. Okay.
Hooray!
I don't think I bank that much, but I can see it being useful, you know?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Anything else from the Patchy Patch notes?
Patchy Patch. No.
I'm good.
All right.
I'm good.
Yes, we know you. You're just. All those things are just coming out of your mouth today, aren't they?
Words?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on Treasure Hunter.
All right.
We got the November Festival, which you get November Festival seeds and you can plant them. And when you harvest them, you get magic beans, which can be used to purchase the farming outfit or any number of seeds or even the cosmetic hoe. It's a garden hoe. I have it from last time.
So you have one for the garden, one for the kitchen.
All right, let's not be inappropriate here, please.
You said it.
But that's what it says in the news posting here. In addition to harvest festival seeds, magic beans are returning and can be obtained as you gain farming XP from labs or from farming itself. These can be exchanged with Martin the Master for seeds and a cosmetic hoe.
Martin?
Yeah, Martin.
Wait, shouldn't it say Martin the Master Farmer? He's not just a general master.
Well, it says Martin the Master, but it should be Master Farmer, yes.
Did you get any good seeds?
No, I haven't got any magic beans yet from this, so.
I thought you said you got the cosmetic hoe.
From last time they ran the promotion, the magic bean promotion.
Shane and, already had his hoe.
Oh, dear. But you can also get prayer XP as well. So seeing as I have 99 farming and prayer, I'm guessing this has to go to farming for me. Though I guess for anyone else, it depends on which skill you don't want to spend the money on. In that case, I would highly recommend using these seeds on prayer, because farming is just easier to train. So. But anyways, also the farming outfit, highly recommended, extra 6% XP. That greatly reduced the number of seeds I had to plant on my way to 120. So try and get that if you can. But yeah, this runs from the 19th to the 23rd.
Hooray!
Yeah, I mean, I could go on, but I think it's just safe to move on at this point, given the discussion that happened on the farming hoe. And for the record, the hoe cost 750 magic beans.
Damn!
Yeah.
Expensive!
Whereas the outfit actually costs 1,100, so you're probably better off saving for the outfit.
Her outfit?
No, your outfit. The master gardener outfit. Goodness sake, sometimes I feel like I'm doing this podcast with children. Are you okay?
No, I'm...
Okay, moving on to the developer Q&A this week featuring the Combat Council, which is a 12-player team built within JAGX to focus on making the right decisions for combat, not necessarily the popular decisions, which I think is something that they needed for quite some time. So I'm happy about this committee being drawn up. The first thing that they've told us, you know what it is?
Why don't you tell us, Shane?
Momentum will be going away. Less than 1% of the RS player base uses it.
Oh.
Which is actually what we said when Revolution came out, right? You don't need...
Wasn't that intended to replace it anyway?
Yeah, but I mean, that was almost 2 years ago. So, I mean, it should be put to bed. High-risk worlds for PvP and Bounty Hunter are being looked at as PvP options. Also, they're looking at a PvP deathmatch game. It'll run on a point system. You'll start with basic welfare gear, their words, not mine, and you'll work your way up. And, you know, this Q&A, when it comes to PvP, when it came to PvP, underscores one thing for me. That is that JAGX doesn't know their game when it comes to combat, because you can PvP with Legacy or, you know, Momentum if you wanted to, though I don't know why you'd use Momentum this day and age. Legacy PvP is what people always enjoyed. And you know why that worked, right? It was because it's slow compared to the faster game pace of the Evolution of Combat. But the downside of the Evolution of Combat PvP system is that you're held back by a tick rate that is still working on the running the same game as the Legacy side. So I don't think they're going to be able to do something with Evolution of Combat PvP until they come up with a way of breaking out of the horrible, you know, 1/6-second tick rate thing for PvP in Legacy mode. Because if they're going after something that is, you know, like MOBA-style PvP or not even only half there, then, you know, it's not going to work without a major tick rate change. So that's problem number one. And problem number two is that, well, people cannot get into Evolution of Combat PvP unless there's a easy way of learning. And they said they have intentions of, you know, making it easier for people to learn how to PvP under the Evolution of Combat system, but I'm not sure that they can do that given the PvP updates that they brought into play so far. So I remain skeptical on this as a way of describing it. Yeah. Any thoughts on PvP at this stage of the game, or no?
Nope.
I don't think we're PvPers
here.
Not
a one.
You ever go PvP someone in the wild? Either of you?
No.
Not really. Actually,
yeah,
not in the wild, but I did when they first came out with the all PvP worlds.
Oh,
yeah, those were fun.
I agree, they were fun. And I mean, that's why some of the Darkscape stuff could come to RS3, and I don't know, I just hope that they come up with a way of PvPing that gets around the tick rate, because I think you could have a really, really great game of RuneScape if the tick rate issue didn't exist for the Evolution of Combat. But that's a debate we've had many times before. Anyways, they're also considering events for Iron Man players. They'll be putting out a poll on XP rewards. And quoting Maud Osborne, a level playing field for Iron Man players must be maintained, but 90% of the time, the Iron Man must be able to participate in an update that the rest of the community can participate in. You still get a kick out of that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And they say if you want to get good at PVM, well, start with the Barrows, God Wars Dungeon, and Queen Black Dragon. That's Jagex's piece of wisdom for this week from the Combat Council. Which, I mean, okay, Queen Black Dragon perhaps, but Barrows, eh. I don't know.
Eh.
Yeah. All right. Any other combat questions from either of you?
Not a one.
Nope.
Okie dokie then. The behind the scenes video from last week focused on invention and gave a bit of a preview as to what it's going to involve, including disassembly and gizmos, which are things you craft that have certain perks on them. Then you add the gizmos to weapons, and these can be positive, negative, or, quote, just plain weird. So the gizmos will have the perks on it, and, you know, okay, that's where you get all the perks, like the Demon Slayer perk, or maybe the Demon Strengthening perk, stuff like that. Also, augmenting, leveling, and disassembling the weapon after you add the gizmo to it will provide the largest source of invention XP, so you do need to train other skills with invention. How do you guys feel about that?
I like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, for so long, we've wanted weapons that we can change and whatnot. So, I think it'll be interesting to see. And next month, they'll dive into devices, discovery, inspiration, and the tech trees, which I think everyone is looking forward to, the tech trees and the technology behind it. But I look forward to maybe creating something. No. You guys think I'll get anything from farming out of invention?
I was thinking about that. I was thinking whether or not they would allow for augmenting, leveling, and then of, like, skilling tools.
Yeah, I mean, like,
it
would be...
add something to
you
it,
could upgrade
crystal,
your
something.
Hoe, Shane.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay, okay, okay. But okay, anyways, I had the idea of a sprinkler, but... anyways, we'll wait and see about that. Maybe that could be under some
You're
kind of gnomish.
Sprinkler?
No, I want a sprinkler for the farming. Yeah, I know. And I think that was going to be under the gnome tree, right? Or the gnome tech tree.
I think it's under the dwarf one.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Well, we shall wait and see then. But definitely have a look at this video. And in case you're wondering why we're not discussing the November 20th video, it's because we are recording this on Thursday, November 19th. For those who are astutely listening with their ears as to when this podcast was recorded.
As opposed to what?
Listening with their ears.
Well, I mean, as opposed to not listening, because, you know, sometimes you tune out the podcast because you're trying to fight a Ripper Demon and not get ripped to pieces.
Okay.
Anyways, let's move on to questions, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's start with the audio question from Parnassius.
G'day, Shane and Earth. Parnassius here. My question this week is in regard to the monsters that use EOC abilities and thus have an adrenaline build-up. One of the ancient curses we have in our prayer book is Leech Adrenaline. However, this does not work against these monsters, only against other players. Do you think it's time for Jagex to revisit this and perhaps activate it for use against these higher tier monsters, especially since there aren't many PvP players in the game anymore, and this curse seems to be wasted? Not being a programmer, I don't know how difficult it would be, but it would be another weapon in our arsenal against these creatures and add a little bit more diversity in planning what is used against them. Love to hear your thoughts on this. As always, happy RuneScaping to all.
Thank you, Parnassius, for that question. And the reason he asked about the adrenaline is because the Ripper Demons and Camel Warriors actually have adrenaline bars that say when they're allowed to activate their special attacks. So Pounce and Sandstorm, respectively. I personally couldn't agree more. I think that's an excellent idea to have, to be able to sap the adrenaline away of NPCs, because, I mean, if you could delay the Ripper Demon from performing that attack, it would certainly make it a bit easier, and there's enough of an opportunity cost to maybe make you not.
I agree.
That. Yeah. And I mean, that just goes to show many of the underutilized mechanics in the game. So definitely should be looked at. And programming wise, I'm not sure, because just because something might seem easy on the forefront doesn't mean it's actually going to be easy to implement. Kind of like when Jagex tried to implement safe deaths in construction and resulted in people dying randomly at the Tears of Guthix.
Yeah, I still don't wear anything to the Tears of Guthix.
Yeah, that was pretty freaky. It really was.
That's pretty freaky, Bowie.
What?
No? No.
No. All right, anything else from this Parnassius question for you guys?
Yeah, I totally agree with him. I think not even higher level mobs, but just like the elves, I would love to not have them hit me with threshold all the time.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly a no-brainer in this day and age, so maybe we can bring this to the forefront of the ninja team and at least get an answer of whether or not this is possible. So we'll work on that. All right. Reed, do you want to take this next one from Sirion?
Oh, I guess so. Dear God. Hey guys, with Invention coming up and the recent behind the scenes explaining a few more details about the basic mechanics of Invention, we are already seeing a significant impact on the Grand Exchange prices. I'm not one to act prematurely on behind the scenes material and speculation, but I was wondering what you would suggest doing with my Slayer loot. I explained on earlier podcasts that I see Invention as something I would do along my regular Slayer training, but do you think it would be helpful to save up armor and weapon drops to give myself a bit of a head start? Maybe I should see if prices go up and ride that wave. What do you think would be the best way to prepare for Invention coming out? That is from Sirion, that guy.
Okay, so I think that saving Slayer loot is going to be a good idea here. I'm not a person who enjoys investing prematurely on the Grand Exchange. That has not worked out well for me. At least not in this game. But anyways, an example they gave in the behind-the-scenes video was that you can decompose a royal crossbow. So this would mean that you would even save drops from things like the Queen Black Dragon, which cuts into a substantial amount of the profit that you can net from that creature. So while I would say it's okay to save Slayer loot and whatnot, I would also say save other kind of things as well. Another example they gave was the Maple Shortbow. So while it seems like saving drops and whatnot would be the best way to go, there's only so much bank space we have, and I mean, you're not going to need a bajillion of each item, right? So I'd say save a small amount, but not an overly large amount. But if you feel comfortable investing in the economy, then you could do that as well. But I'm not going to tell you what to invest in, because that's never worked out all too well for me.
Plus, so if you tell him on a podcast, then everybody's going to do that. So it ain't going to
right.
work.
That's right. That's very true.
I know.
Yeah, we've manipulated the market before. In one of the farming skill of the months, we made Torstal seeds jump up really high.
Wow.
I bet you liked that, didn't you?
Yeah, that was a two-man operation, Brad and myself. Actually, that was in the farming skill of the month that you think you won.
I won that.
Oh, maybe we'll need to have a good rematch one of these days.
We'll see. That,
yeah. I would ensure a level playing field.
Would you?
Of course. Anything
so you would
for
fund
you.
The whole thing?
No.
Then it's not going to be a level playing field.
I only have 12 million GP, but what I'm saying is I would...
Oh, woe is you.
I would ensure a level playing field by not using bonus XP and helping you out. But then, of course, I have to help other people out as well, right? That's tricky. Mm. But
why tricky?
I said tricky.
Oh, I thought you said tricky. That was right before I was going to make a affirmative action joke. So I would have felt bad.
You would have been the one flaunting race. But anyways, you would have been the one that was causing trouble with race relations.
Causing trouble.
Yeah. But anyways, Anyways, yes. I don't know. I think if you save everything, you'll be good. But also, don't save everything to a point where you don't make money. That's got to be the delicate balance to achieve. Because it's like, do I save this little rune two-hander that I got? And how many of them am I going to need? Am I going to need 100 of them? 50? 25? 2? How many rune two-handers? If you know what I mean, right? So...
if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, it's a question of, do you want a large amount or a small amount? Right now we don't know, because we don't know how this item disassembly and the items that you get from item disassembly are going to work when it comes to invention, and how many of them you're going to need. And as it stands right now, item disassembly is not a main source of XP in invention, so... I struggle to offer up a concrete answer on this, but I would say just save everything unless you're strapped for cash. Really, that's going to be the best way to be secure in your future prospects. I wonder if there's a rule of acquisition for that. Sounds like there should be, right? I don't know. About being prepared.
I thought you had them memorized, Shane.
Oh, no.
No.
I feel like I got a parrot on the show this week.
Yep.
All right, Tyler, you can take this question from Mark.
Oh, wait, I was going to say something about Sirion's question.
Oh, please.
Which is pretty much just parroting what you said, but adding that the way that I have been getting past the stockpiling is that I'm a big proponent of the spring cleaner, if you have it. And so I'll sell things that do get dismantled by my spring cleaner, but then save things that don't get saved. So that I'm still getting some money while also saving some stuff. Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I never put too much emphasis on the spring cleaner, but I don't do Slayer, so it's not that much of an issue for me. Anything that comes out of the ground from farming is worthwhile.
Okay.
Sure. All right. Next one from Marking.
You want me to read it?
Yes, please.
Okay. This is from Marking 22. What has kept you playing RuneScape all these years? What is your favorite update in RuneScape? I guess
I'll answer first. Yes, please.
So what's kept me playing RuneScape all these years is probably a combination of the people that I play with and interesting content, mostly quests for me. And then my favorite update in RuneScape has probably been Profinus, rather.
Wow, okay.
All right. Friends and quests, what keep me playing. Favorite update. I don't know.
I think I can answer your favorite update one. Plague's End?
I guess so. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Anything else on that one?
Reed? I got nothing else.
Okay. What's kept me playing for all these years is the same as these two: quests and our community, and of course, farming. It never gets dull. It really doesn't. I'm going for 105 million XP currently. I have to be careful, or else I'll be going for 200 mil, and that could end badly.
Why?
I won't be able to farm any. I won't be able to get XP anymore. Yeah. But my favorite update in RS is Plague's End. And I say Plague's End and not Pryftinus because I feel that Pryftinus is too overpowered. So that's why I say Plague's End. And also Plague's End because we were waiting over 10 years for that quest and it finally arrived. And it kept within the tradition of elf quest being simple yet difficult. It revisited so many parts of the old storyline. It was incredibly nostalgic. And overall, it was just a well-produced quest. I really enjoyed Plague's End last year.
Agreed.
So, yeah, Plague's End, definitely. And I felt I had to say that part about Pryftinus being too overpowered. So, sorry to anyone out there who feels that you must survive with Pryftinus, but it has, you know, just changed the way the game goes, maybe a little bit too much. As I say, nowadays you have three tiers of RuneScape: free-to-play, members, and Pryftinus, right?
Sure.
And Pryftinus is also associated with AFKscape, which I don't like. And Lootscape and XP Wastescape and all that other fun stuff that we've gone to.
Togglescape, Shane.
Yeah, that too. One. So, yeah. I mean, like, come on, how many toggles did we have this week? I think it was like 12 or something added in terms of the. Seven categories in accepting.
Numerous.
So seven toggles were added this week. Yes, indeed. So that's why I had to go with Plague's End, but the quests are great. And, I mean, we're not recruiting right now, but once Clan Quest recruitment opens up, if you are sticking around and you enjoy playing quests, that might be something you want to look at. I'm an honor counselor at Clan Quest, and Earth here is a high counselor at Clan Quest. So once we open recruitment again, if you find questing interesting, talk to us and we'll tell you how the process works as to being invited to Clan Quest.
Indeed.
Yes. Alrighty. Thank you, Marking22. Always nice to see an old name coming back, right?
Indeed.
So, the next one is from Titus, our friend from Quebec. Question 1. Are you hype for Invention? Hopefully yes, because my other questions are related to Invention as well. Question 2. Which aspects of Invention are you most hyped about? Augmentable items, discovery, and tech trees? And question 3, which tech tree sounds the most promising to you? Each tree is powered by a different resource. Human tech tree will be divination, the cave goblin tech tree, electricity, dwarf tech tree, coal. And of course, everything discovery and tech tree is kind of related. That's kind of related is speculation at the moment, but that's the fun in it. I'm hyped for Invention because it is the long-awaited accompaniment to divination. It would be kind of like getting a steak at dinner and not getting the accompaniments, if you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, I guess.
So that's why I'm happy for Invention. I guess you guys are happy as well, yes?
Yes,
yeah,
very hyped.
It should be exciting.
Yeah, and I mean, it's so nice you have level 80 divination now, right, Reed? Because that's a requirement for Invention.
Well, it's nice that I have it. Wasn't nice getting that shit.
Yeah.
All that.
And apparently we didn't tell you about the Guthix caches.
You dick.
I forgot about them.
But,
anyways, so yeah, we are hyped. Question 2 aspect. For me, it's going to be discovery and the elf tech tree when that comes later on down the line. And maybe the dwarf tech tree as well. How about you guys?
The electricity one sounds really interesting to me.
Don't you mean to say it sounds electrifying?
Shane, all these jokes you're making today are just shocking.
Yeah, it's kind of like someone's replaced me with a changeling or something, right?
Sure.
Yes, okay. Tyler?
I would say that if augmentable items includes skilling tools, rather, I would say that I'm most hyped about that. But I really like the idea of discovery as well.
Yeah. For me, augmentable items is great too, because there's just so much junk in the game currently, and it would be really nice to see what we can do perk-wise to items. Though I don't think we want to become Call of Duty perk level. That would be bad.
Do you want
to
be perky, Shane?
Oh, yeah. I could be perky.
Okay.
But, all right. And Tech Tree promising, Earth already said, Cave Goblin Tech Tree with agility. I said dwarfs. How about you, Tyler?
I'd probably say dwarf. Yeah.
Okay. I like dwarf trees.
Shane,
well.
There's a puppy. Yeah. There's a puppy. I'm sorry. Hi, puppy. Is this ours, Andrew? Do we get a puppy?
That's my
grandbabies. Aww. I want a puppy. Thank you. Oh my god, yes. I get to keep
the
puppy
it?
For a little bit. Oh, hello, hello. Sorry,
whose
what?
Is it?
I have no idea.
What kind?
I don't
whose
know
is
what
it?
Kind. It's adorable. That's what kind it is.
You sure do enjoy your dogs, then.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, Earth has a good dog at home named George that he likes. So that's what happens when you separate him and George. Right?
Mm-hmm. Let's not go over there. Yeah. A puppy.
Now, if we had video, this would be a perfect time to utilize that feature. But unfortunately, we don't. So,
Oh,
anyways,
get off the wire, please. Get off the wire, please. Come on, puppy. Come on. There we go. Thank you.
I like the Cave Goblin tech tree because it'll dwarf tech tree because it'll probably involve burning coal. And
yeah, you hate the environment, Shane.
No, it's just look how much progress we've made with coal.
I never said such a thing.
Just compare the difference between burning coal and using solar, where you don't get much sun. So that's all I'll say on that. But maybe we can use the cave or the dwarf tech tree to find oil in RuneScape. That'd be good.
Classic Shane.
Well, yeah, I'm always looking for an opportunity to prospect and make a quick buck, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the sprinkler, though, that was in one of the tech trees, so that'll be interesting to come as well. And you're only going to be able to specialize in two of the tech trees at the beginning, so it'll require you to contact with your friends and whatnot. So it's definitely going to change the way we play RS. I just hope it's the right kind of change, if you know what I mean. Not necessarily AFK escape.
You can't jump off the bed. This is a little too high for you. No?
I do like the fact that even though you have to specialize early on, in the end, you're not, like, locked out of the other one.
Yeah, that's true. And, I mean, this is all what we've heard from quick little RuneFest presentations and whatnot.
That's
so it
also
could
true.
All change.
Yeah.
Could all change in time. But, anyways, that's what we think of invention. And, I mean, we're not necessarily opposed to it. We just need to have more information before we know where it's going. But all in all, looks pretty good, I think, eh?
Hey.
All right. On to tech news then?
Indeed.
Okay. But first, remember that if you want to send questions to us, just send them to questions@rsbnb.com or use the telephone and call to 571-57BNB, which is 571-572-2632. That is a North American number. So if you are outside of the United States, you may incur long distance fees. So, and I'll say it again. I learned not too long ago that you guys can pretty much call anywhere in your nation without any fees.
Yep.
Okay. Anyways, send us questions. We live on your questions. It's what makes the show great. So, tech news. The Windows 10 update from Microsoft, the November Windows 10 update, has arrived. I assume we've all installed it, probably.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Thoughts going forward?
Allie, I sent a picture to my mom, and she said, "What? It looks like Chewbacca." Sorry, Shane. I'm very excited about this puppy, if you didn't notice.
Yes, I've gathered. All right. So numerous changes in this update, including usability changes such as showing more icons on the start menu, the ability to change the color of the title bars. Do you guys notice that?
Oh, how do you change it?
Well, you basically say show the accent color on the start menu and taskbar, and it will show it also on the title bars.
Oh, I did notice that, but I didn't know that you could fix it. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, so it's gone now, Reed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can also make the start menu larger so it shows more icons, and it'll act more like the start screen on Windows 8 and on the tablet on the phone. Are you guys using the new start menu much, or is it just acting like the traditional start menu for you both?
I use it.
Okay.
And
one thing tiles, I don't like. Good too.
Yeah, I like live tiles.
Absolutely.
One thing that I don't like that has come with the update, though, is that there's like this little suggestion thing that I had to turn off in start menu where it would suggest apps for me to download.
Yeah, you can just turn that shit off.
Yeah,
I suggested I download Candy Crush.
Wait, you downloaded Candy Crush?
No, it suggested I do that. I did no such thing.
I did no such thing. I said no
I
such
never
thing.
Did such a thing.
All right. Other changes you can do with this version of the Windows 10 is you get the ability to activate Windows 10 without having to install a previous version of Windows first, meaning you can use your Windows 7 or Windows 8 key to activate it, which is really nice for those of us that just install systems and prefer the fresh install. Very nice indeed. They said Skype and messaging was here. The Skype integrated.
You have to go download it from the store, Shane.
Okay. Is it fixed?
Let me check. I don't have it downloaded on this. One moment. Let me go install it.
I know there were some major problems with it, like messages appearing backwards and whatnot, right?
What?
So, remember you sent me the screenshot where it was...
Okay, so that group conversation works. Apparently, Shane said earlier, get money.
That was Tyler. That was Tyler. Strange. That wasn't me. That was Tyler.
I never said such a thing.
So, I don't know, man.
All right. Well, also in this update... yeah, we mentioned the color changes. And overall, I think now's the time to update to Windows 10, right?
That was in July.
Yeah, I know. But all the issues and kinks are probably ironed out, right?
Yes.
Ironed.
Oh, God.
Yes, my son. Okay.
I appreciate you claiming yourself as a deity, but I don't need one right now. I'll let you know if I do, okay? Yeah. I don't need a deity.
Okay.
But, anyways. There was also some rumbling about them releasing an insider build for the Windows 10 phone today. Mm. Did anything like that come by for you?
I don't know.
Yes?
I'm sorry. I got a mod for Fallout that changes the level up noise to the, and his name is John.
Oh God.
And that just happened.
Oh dear. Okay.
Sorry. What was I saying? No, I
was asking
back to Windows 8.1 phone because I wanted stability.
Yeah, stability is good in anything you do. A stable family life leads to very good prospects in the future.
Thanks, Shane.
All right. Indeed. Firefox for iOS has also been released.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, long time coming. I'm going to give the typical caveat when it comes to using other browsers on iOS is that since you can't change the default browser on iOS, your mileage will vary because the mail application, reminders, notes, and whatnot all open their links in Safari regardless of whether or not you have Firefox or Chrome.
They still haven't changed
that?
In mind.
They have not, no.
Although, if you use Google alternatives, like I use Inbox, it will allow you to open things up in
Chrome.
But, in Chrome, yeah.
But that requires you going in for all of the Google experience, and I don't like Chrome on iOS. But
so have you used Firefox on iOS yet, Shane?
Yeah, I did, and it feels like a good browser. It's got tabs and custom searches like you have on the Firefox desktop, so you can have all your little searches, you know, to Wikipedia or the RuneScape iScores or whatever you so desire. So that's good. But also, what you can do is sync with your Firefox on your desktop. So if you're a Firefox user on your desktop, I think that's going to be the number one reason why you might want to consider Firefox on iOS, because you'll be able to sync all your bookmarks and whatnot with ease. So,
but if you don't, is there any reason to use Firefox over Safari?
No, Safari has a superior integration with the OS, and until you can change that, there's no point in using another browser unless you're sufficiently invested in that platform.
So your vote for Firefox on iOS is a no.
It's a no unless you use Firefox on your desktop.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Just like Chrome. If you use Chrome on your desktop, you might consider using Chrome on iOS. And finally, this week in Google News, Google Plus has been rebranded significantly. They've brought it out to show communities and collections. So basically, a collection is a group of communities. So you might have an Apple collection that deals with everything Apple, from the Mac to the iPhone to iOS, that kind of thing. There's also Microsoft collections for, you know, the Xbox, Windows, and whatnot going as well. So basically, this is a compelling product. It's a little bit noisy in terms of the user interface, but I think what Google has done, you guys sitting down and anchored sufficiently to your chairs?
Yes.
Yes.
Google has effectively designed Reddit for 2015.
What? Did you just say the R word, Shane?
Rectum? Well, yeah, I think... No. What I'm saying is that if Reddit wanted to redesign in 2015, they would make it look like this Google Communities product or Google Plus. And it accomplishes largely the same role as Reddit, so this could be a Reddit alternative for people who are fed up with that website still.
Wait, so it's no longer a social network?
Well, it is, but you can also post to communities. That's what the emphasis is now on Google Plus, is that you're posting to communities, whether it be for Reddit or, you know, RuneScape or whatever you have, right?
And this is available now or available in the future?
Yeah. Just go to plus.google.com and you'll see it. And you can go to all the communities and whatnot.
Oh.
Let me show you guys, actually. Yeah, so you just go to plus.google.com. Then you have on the communities at the side all the different ones that you can choose from. You can see ones you're a member of, then go into it. And after that, it'll load slowly but surely, I think. It's taking its sweet time right
now. Google down. Shane, did you kill Google?
I don't know, but
Shane,
Google Plus is definitely not working right now. Oh, maybe it's because I have uBlock enabled. Let's see if we can prevent that from...
Wait, you're using an ad blocker, Shane?
Yeah, I am.
It was his pick a few weeks ago.
I know, I gave him shit about it.
Yeah. So like basically, I think... Oh, you enjoy doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Okay. This is a good alternative to Reddit, I feel.
I feel like it's very different.
And like I said, if Reddit was being designed for 2015, this is the way it would be designed. So, I honestly think that this version of Google Plus has got some legs. It's just got to find its place in the community. And people need to give it a try who have left it before. I'll definitely be having a look at the Apple communities and all the other ones that I find interesting. Technology, maybe some of the science fiction-y stuff as well. Yeah, definitely have a look at the new Google Plus at plus.google.com. Anyone who has a Google account has access to it. All right. So is that image safe to open?
What image? Oh, yeah, it's safe to open.
That you linked. Oh, it's a bunch of leaves. Okay.
It's shaped like a Charizard. I just wanted to go to see Reddit and see how my view of Reddit could be transferred into your idealistic view of Google Plus.
Yeah, and
Shane,
that's
an idealist? Say it ain't so.
That's the biggest problem I have with Reddit, is that it looks so hideous.
It's your fault.
Look at me that.
Well, it's not my fault. It's their fault for not wanting to iterate and piss off the community.
No, they chose a very simplistic layout, and then each community can do their own layout if they want.
Yeah, but I disable those.
Okay. Neat.
Yeah, but definitely give Google Plus a try. I hope this version of the product succeeds. Because, I mean, there's got to be a place to gather on the internet for a general community-type forum that's not Reddit, I think. But
Shane's a hater, y'all.
No!
It could just be the RSBNB group of game servers. That's where we can gather. For more goodness.
Every Tuesday, PC gaming on the RSBNB game servers. Definitely
nice
come
plug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about skill of the month then, shall we?
We shall.
Okie dokie. Defense skill of the month, Parnassius is in the lead and gaining XP as of the last week or so, 10 days, with 5.5 million XP gained. Second place, we have Flash with 3.1. million, and third place is Metal Maniac 9 with 732,000 XP gain.
Did Tim die?
I checked in with him and he's still alive, so he's just not competing.
Alright.
So, thank you for your concern, but yes. It should be
is he dead?
If anyone decides to... Don't wish death on anyone, that's bad.
I never did that. You did
that. He was just wondering.
Okay, then. Well, it'll be interesting to see if anyone catches Parnassius then. Okay, let's move on to the achievables of the week, shall we? What?
What?
Growing him?
I hope someone catches Parnassius. Oh, is someone throwing him?
Oh, I heard growing him.
No, Shane.
It's not all about farming.
Yeah. Get your head out of the trees.
Okay. All right, well, in achievements this week, we have Colton, who got 99 woodcutting on the 15th and 99 fire making on the 8th. And
Bolter, 99, got 99 feeding on the 7th.
And Jungle Biscuit got 99 Slayer on November 6th, 2015.
Good job, everyone. Well done.
Rats.
And not a single fletching or cooking in there. I remember the days when these achievements were just fletching and cooking all the way up and down the list.
Well, everyone got those.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't get cooking. I did get fletching, though. Anyways, I'd like to draw you guys to RSBNB Informer before the pick of the week to have a look at Colton's latest article entitled Majorette Lore, Part 1, A History Up to the Zorossian Empire. Nice. So if you've ever been interested in how the Majorette Empire formed or what the Majorette were all about, well, start at the very beginning with this article from Colton. It's going to be the first in a series about the lore of probably one of the most interesting factions in-game. He's even got a YouTube clip to Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On.
Shane, you know that song
really curious.
Very blatantly about sex, right?
Well, he put the video in there, and I let him do that, so.
Okay.
You can just take that up with him.
I don't have a problem with it. It's a fabulous song.
It does make me curious how to fit it in, so now I want to read. It's perfect.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, Shane left a sexual reference on his website, so it must be really good if he's got to allow that.
So just head on over to informer.rsbnb.com and give a read to Colton's article. It's a good one. All right. So, pick of the week. I have a feeling I know what this pick of the week is going to be.
All right. My pick this week is Fallout 4. If you are friends with me on Steam, this will come to no surprise to you. I came out, last Tuesday?
Yeah, something like that.
So it's been a week and a half. I've already got almost 40 hours into it. Dear God. And I still feel like I haven't played it enough. But anyway, it's if you've ever played a Fallout game before, you need to get this, because normally Bethesda games are really buggy at launch, but I've crashed like one time, and that was after the game had been open for several hours.
And you minimized the window, if I remember correctly.
What?
You said you crashed when you minimized the window?
No, actually. You can Alt-Tab now, and it's fine.
Oh, good.
Very surprising, because you can't do that shit, usually.
So tell us, why do you enjoy Fallout 4 so much?
I just like this kind of game. It's a role-playing game. I'm doing my first playthrough as Shane, actually.
Oh dear, here we go.
What?
Carry
Shane,
on.
You're the savior of the wasteland.
Excellent. But you're leaving out one crucial aspect.
Which one?
Your character looks nothing like me.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's okay. It's artistic interpretation.
Right. Okay. Okay, so you enjoy Fallout 4 because you like RPGs. What's the difference between Fallout 4 and Fallout 3 or New Vegas?
It has a new settlement system. And you can build settlements all over the wasteland, and people will come live there and work on it. You have to defend it from attacks occasionally.
Build base and defense it.
Basically.
Yeah.
So there's like a whole building aspect to it now.
Oh, good. Right, we saw you building some kind of deck or structure there with some wood, right?
Yes.
Okay, and what was that for? just to give an idea of what you can
I just wanted to see what the build height ceiling was.
Oh, okay, I see. All right. So, one thing that you have been very apparent about in previous Fallouts is that the mods that come into play, and you've even made mods in the past, you know, Ronald Reagan, the current
Ronnie
Sanderson
Reagan.
Yes, I know. That was one of my favorite update episodes because I was able to have a picture of Ronald Reagan on the screen for about 20 minutes. But anyways, have you ported any of the mods, or is this game moddable at this time? And what's
mod
your prospect
tools
of that
aren't
for the
out
future?
Yet, but like if you want to add some more songs to the radio, you can get around that by taking the songs that are currently there and then just like adding a few seconds of silence at the end and then putting the other song at the end of it. If that makes
sense.
Okay.
Yeah, it's basically like editing.
Like if you
want to
change
right?
a texture, you can just override it. But no, the official mod tools aren't out yet, and they're supposed to come out early 2016, which I'm very excited for.
All right. And so what's the number one reason people should look to purchase Fallout 4 then? I know it's going to be hard for you to choose just one, but...
I mean...
Any reason, okay.
It's... If you like role-playing games, then you're definitely going to enjoy this. If you enjoyed Skyrim or previous Fallout games, you will definitely like this.
All right. Anything else you'd like to share about Fallout 4, then?
No, I don't think so.
Very, very well, then. You can find Fallout 4 on Steam, I assume?
Yes. And you can also... All right. It's also available for Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
But you'd say probably get it for the PC because of mod tools and...
If,
expandability.
Well, actually, right? You'll be able to get mods on the Xbox One, but through a, I'm not entirely sure how
store?
That's going to work yet.
Yeah, because that has always been, you know, a sticking point for Xbox games, since they don't want to expose their ecosystem to foreign code. So.
Yeah, like it has to be approved. So if you want a mod that you obviously can't get like graphics mods.
Yeah.
I think. We'll
you
see.
You probably won't be able to get your mod either then.
No. And I also doubt that you'll be able, like saving Christmas from Nazis, like those kind of mods would be allowed.
Yeah, they'll probably want to keep it close to the IP then.
Well, no, just clean.
Oh, okay.
Ish.
We'll
see.
Game's rated M, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
it don't matter to me anymore. Yeah, it's rated M. Yeah, they say
okay.
A lot. It's got to be.
And you say that a lot too.
As do I.
Yeah. All right, so that's Fallout 4, one of the, probably, your favorite game of the year?
Oh, man. Yeah? I think so.
All righty then, that's Fallout 4. So, what have we been up to? Let's start with you, Tyler, since you're our visitor this week.
I haven't really been up to much on RS, just, doing the Raptor tasks. I'm 3 away from the cosmetic set. And I've been exploring the
monsters.
Oh, that's
good for you. I haven't done any Raptor tasks. I'm not much for Slayer, and I don't really care about the cosmetic. So, I'm not doing the Raptor tasks. But
I did it more because I wanted the double Slayer experience. Just because I'm casually kind of going for 120 Slayer.
Yeah.
But just very super casually.
Okay. Right.
Casual.
Okay. Yep.
I could go for 99 Slayer, but I'm 96, and no thank you. No thank you. Anyways, anything else you'd like to share? Sorry for hijacking your what have you been doing segment.
No, it's fine. No, nothing else. Just been going to class, working in lab. Nothing too exciting.
Alrighty then. And of course, you, Mr. Earth, Reed, whatever you want to be called.
Fallout.
Mr. Fallout.
Of course.
Hi, Fallout.
Oh, yeah.
I don't get it.
You could certainly call him that. All right. Anything else?
I also can think of a number of names of things I could call you, Shane. So you don't want to open that. You don't want to open that can of worms.
I never suggested calling you Mr. Fallout. I just called you Reed and Earth, which is acceptable.
I know.
But okay. Anything else?
I got doing a play right now, so I've been super busy. Haven't gotten enough time to play Fallout, which is sad.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, my education's getting in the way of Fallout.
How dare it. How dare it.
Right?
Oh, first world problems.
Right?
Indeed. All right, well, as for me this week on RS, I started the 120 Herblore project. It looks like I'm going to be making around 400,000 prayer renewal potions.
I thought you were about to say you're going to be making money, and I was like, damn, tell me your secrets.
Well, you can make money from that.
What?
From the prayer renewals?
It just requires you... Yeah, you just need to farm your own herbs.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how you do it. And, of course, you could also do your own mushrooms, but then you'd be making a grand total of, 24 prayer renewals a day, which I don't think you want to do.
Unlikely.
If you farm. Yeah, so best to buy the mushrooms. And you could make combination potions, too, but it's a question of how much do you PVM and how many combination potions do you want to have in your bank? Because you got to remember, they're not tradable. So that's an important balance to strike as well. Alrighty. But that's about it this week. Glad to be back doing this podcast. I think we had a well-deserved break last week.
Yes.
We didn't miss too much from the signs of things. So we're going to be doing something next week for when it's American Thanksgiving. I'm not sure who's going to be here when the show is going to come out, but we'll sort something out. You probably won't be here. But
yeah, chances are I will not be here. Because going to my grandmother's,
you could always do the
driving
one that
over 1,000 miles over the next week. So,
remember when you joked that you could do the update live from I-75?
I did make that joke. Yes.
Yeah.
I do remember this happening.
Yeah. All right. That would be hard to concentrate. But anyways, this has been RSBNB Update 543 with Tyler and Earth. Thank you for sharing your time with us, everyone. And remember, if you want to chat with us during the week, just head on in-game to the Friends Chat. That is Bits Bytes. We look forward to seeing you there. And we don't bite.
Shane does. Don't let him lie to you.
No, I don't. I'm not a ripper.
Okay. If you say so. Bye, everyone.
Bye.